This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the Onside Kick. My name is Ricky Widmer, and as always, I'm joined by the Mark Weber.
Dub them E's.
And as you guys know, this is our special kind of Onside Kick call-in podcast. We've got some great guests lined up for you guys, people from the MVP Army. And our first one, we're speaking with Johnny. And Johnny, you got to correct me on this because I've never had you on the line to correct me. It's Johnny Bertek, right?
Yeah.
Johnny Bertek from Johnny Talk Sports is our first call-in. Thank you, Johnny, for being on the podcast. And kind of like the floor is yours. What do you want to talk about here on the Onside Kick?
Well, there's so much to talk about, but I'd say the most major thing that everybody's talking about right now is Odell Beckham and his suspension.
Yeah, and see, like, the thing is, I'm going to actually ask you, Johnny, if you were Roger Goodell, what would you say the suspension be? One games, two games, no games? Because with me, and I tweeted it out on Monday, I believe, and maybe people say it's because I'm a Vikings fan, I think it should have been two games. You know what? Sit the rest of the regular season. Then if your team makes the playoffs, you can come back.
Well, considering that I would be in Roger Goodell's position, no matter what happens, someone would get angry at me no matter what I would say. Kind of like with Tom Brady with the Deflategate situation. Either way, somebody was going to get upset.
I'll tell you, I mean, that's true. That is true. Someone will get upset. Roger Goodell has to kind of look past that stuff. I think part of it, you know, I hate to be cynical, but part of it to me, I look at that schedule and I say Vikings, okay, whatever. But Eagles.
You say okay, whatever, because you're a Bears fan.
No, I'm
okay.
Saying Eagles because if Washington loses, Philadelphia and New York, assuming they both won, potentially can be for the division.
Yeah.
And then I want Odell Beckham Jr. to be there because that's going to make people tune in. It's going to make people buy tickets. They're going to be watching that game because I can flex that game.
You can flex it to the Sunday night. But, I mean, to go off of, Johnny, what you said, like, people aren't going to have the same opinion of it. You look at right now, Roger Goodell gave him a game, which to me was slap on the wrist. Okay, you only get a game. And OBJ is appealing it already. And the first thing I thought was really take it like a man. Say, okay, I'm going to sit the game. I realize that I may have been a little bit too far gone, too much out of control. I'm going to take this punishment like a man and move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. That's the way I kind of see it. And I mean, the thing is, like you say, the Viking-Giant game, yeah, it doesn't really affect the Giants, especially, like you said, if the Eagles win this week. But to me, I think, you know what? The thing that made it so bad for me was the helmet-to-helmet hit on Josh Norman. That's what made it to me because, Johnny, what did you think of just that hit in general? Did you think that that was just like, whoa, okay, this guy's too far gone?
Well, I think there was points where it could have gone too far, but kind of what I was reading on, like, or hearing about on ESPN, like, they were talking about, like, I don't know which analyst it was, they were thinking, where were the refs in this situation taking both of them out of the game? But do you think that the Odell punishes only one game because he's a young athlete? Like, if it was, like, Tom Brady or Ndamukong Suh, think it'd be, like, the whole season? Like, the whole rest of it?
I could see that kind of playing into it a little bit. I mean, he is only a sophomore in the league. But to me, two games, and I know Marcus said, well, the last game holds some significance, so that's why you don't want to go two. But to me, two games is enough to say, okay, learn your lesson, and then come back for the playoffs. What do you think, Mark, on Johnny's question?
Well, I think penalizing players by suspending them for games in the NFL really means nothing because, I mean, you can suspend somebody for beating their kid for a game or two or, you know, whatever it might be, smoking a little weed for the whole season. You know, there's no consistency, and that's been a problem, obviously, and that's going to be addressed, once again, in the offseason. Now, when it comes to Odell, I definitely think him being part of the offense makes a big difference. him being somebody, or he's a wide receiver, so him being somebody who's catching the ball, that makes a difference. If it tables were flipped and Norman goes and hits him with his helmet, he's out. He's out that game, and he's gone probably for the rest of the season. Now, I think Odell Beckham Jr. being one of the kind of good guys looked at, you know, everyone in the league loves this guy. He makes all those freak catches that we love to see all the time. We're going to protect him. We're going to be okay with him doing this a little bit. It's a little bit of bias. It's unfortunate. You know, those refs, no one's going to want to be the ref that throws Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. out of the game. Like, you're not going to be the ref that throws out, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. You're just not going to do it. There's certain players that are untouchable. If it is a defensive players are aggressive. We're okay with throwing them out because naturally they're kind of aggressive, so we understand it. But offensive players, we don't think about them being aggressive. When you think about aggressive offensive players, the only person that really comes to my mind, at least immediately, Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Smith's not getting, you know, he doesn't get thrown out of too many games.
See, and the thing that I think of too, and I'm going to form this into a question, Johnny, to come at you, but part of me is, okay, the ref should have probably stepped in and either said you're out of the game or, to me, given an actual warning. The other side, too, can we put some blame on Tom Coughlin in this situation? Because Pierce on ESPN said that Coughlin lets Beckham do whatever he wants. And I mean, you can kind of, as a fan, you can kind of assume that, like, okay, your star player can do whatever he wants, but can we put some blame on Coughlin to say, okay, he should have stepped in? Kind of like how if OBJ's in a Patriot uniform, look at what happened with Randy Moss. I know Randy Moss, a little bit of an older player when it happened, but he goes ahead, speaks out. What does Robert Kraft and Belichick do? Ship him out of town the next day.
And don't forget, I think it was last week, trying to remember what team it was where it might have been the Monday night game where one of the players was getting pass interferences. He's getting personal fouls and boom, pulled out. Not for long, but pulled out for a little bit. And then he got put back in.
But
where's that?
My question is, Johnny, and I'll throw it to you, is should we place some blame on Tom Coughlin that he should have pulled in the reins? I'm not saying trade OBJ, but should he pulled in the reins
trade him
and
to
say,
the Bears.
Hey, you know what? I got to take you out because you're hurting us.
Yeah, put him on the Bears.
Well, I think we could, like, maybe take him out for, like, a series because you wouldn't want to take him out for, like, a whole second half because he's, like, the only good receiver the Giants have, am I correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got Reuben Randle, but Reuben Randle is not as consistent as Odell. Yeah.
And they were, you know, they're making a drive at this point, you know, to try and get back in the game. You don't want to mess that up.
Although I think what originally started Odell getting angry was probably he was all fired up, like, after that pregame situation, then dropping, like, a wide-open touchdown pass set him off a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing that came out was that apparently there were the Panther players on defense were saying stuff to Odell, like, something about a bat, and then, like, today, Lebatar on his podcast was talking about Beckham being bothered by a slur, but the way I see that is any cornerback in the league is going to say whatever they can to get in your head. And I just kind of think of...
It's not necessarily right, but that's what they do.
I kind of think back to my childhood where it was my sister was like a cornerback and I was a wide receiver. She would say anything to get a rise out of me. And my grandfather would say it plain and simple. Just walk away.
I mean, to be dumb about it, you know, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
Yeah.
You know, swing, bada, bada, bada. You know, all that type of good stuff that you did when you were a kid. I got a couple questions for you boys to kind of get towards the end of Odell here. Two things. One, do you think this is going to be a continued problem? Are we going to see any more of this? Or how do you think Odell's going to react? And also, when it comes to the Pro Bowl, Odell did just get selected for the Pro Bowl. Should the NFL take it away?
Johnny, I'm going to throw it to you. You answer the questions first, buddy.
I would say it kind of depends on his behavior in Week 17 when he comes back. If something happens in Week 17, then yeah, take it away. But maybe the one-game suspension will probably teach him a lesson a bit. Because, you know, there are people in the NFL that they've dreamed about playing the NFL since they were like children, like in like fifth or sixth grade.
And it's not a dream that everybody actually like. And I actually had this conversation with a dear friend of the podcast and former podcast host Dave Oster. I know the young MVP fans are probably like, who's that? But he's kind of an OG around here. And me and him kind of got into the argument, and this kind of goes off a little bit on a tangent, but I think it fits, was I made the point of, okay, if let's say I tried to get to the NFL, I don't have the talent to get to the NFL. Plus, I mean, Mark, you've seen me in real life. Johnny, you've seen me on videos. Not the most in shape of guy, so hey, I'm not going to be running
gonna,
any 440s.
You're going to be my right guard, Ricky.
Anytime soon.
I got you.
The defense, JPP would just barrel right over me to the quarterback. I would not want me in front of me if I was a quarterback, but he was kind of on the other side of like, oh, anybody with hard work can get to the NFL. It's not that simple. And like Johnny just said, there are some kids that have been dreaming about this since they were five. Like, I remember me sitting in my room with the like little Nerf football. He drops back. 3, 2, oh, to the corner of the end zone. Oh, he dives. And I like dive, catch it, land on my bed because that's what we all dream of. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Odell gets to do that.
Does he get to do that, but he gets to be the best in the league at it.
Like one-handed, two fingers.
Who's on the Madden cover? It's Odell.
OBJ.
Yeah, he is the guy right now. Not everybody gets to do that. But at the same time, you know, because we contractually have to mention Johnny Football on every podcast, not everybody can handle the pressure. Mm-hmm. It gets to you a little bit. Some people kind of crack, you know, maybe I'm not saying Odell is cracking under the pressure because he's done just fine so far, but maybe it's going to get to him a little bit. I don't know. Maybe this was just a one-time thing.
And I agree with Johnny. I feel like if he comes back week 17 and he's like, okay, he plays fine. We don't see an incident.
He goes out there, punches someone right in the face.
Well, you know, those Eagles can be kind of chippy themselves.
Chippy.
Well, you see what I did there?
There you go.
Johnny, the last thing I'm going to ask you to kind of round out our first part of the podcast is you didn't give me a for sure answer early. You kind of said whatever answer I would give as Roger Goodell, people would criticize. Last thing I want from you. Give me a solid answer. 1, 2, or 0 game suspension for OBJ if you're Roger Goodell.
Truthfully, I would say 2 because the Giants are most likely not going to the playoffs. So it kind of would teach Odell a lesson to not do something like that again.
And I'm looking right here. ESPN has a little graphic. The simplest division clinching scenarios in the East. For the Redskins, they got to beat the Eagles. For the Eagles, they got to win the final 2. Go ahead, Johnny.
I truthfully think the Redskins will beat the Eagles, although you don't know what to predict from the Washington Redskins. They either show up and just blow out an opponent, or they get beat by like 20-plus.
Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. And then the last time, the Giants, the last team, they got to win the final 2, and the Redskins lose the final 2. But those are the simplest division-clinching scenarios for week 16. I want to actually thank Johnny for joining us here on our first ever onside kick call-in. Thank you, Johnny, for being our inaugural guest on the podcast. And this was an interesting topic. I like the one that you picked for us tonight.
Thank you for having me. And also before I go, congratulations on 500 subscribers. Thank you. I found you guys in around like August when you had about 315. So it's good to see how far you guys are coming.
Yeah, and I mean, thank you for that. I mean, for us, we were at 100 come January?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year.
At the beginning of the year, I remember recording our video for, thank you, we hit 100, mm-hmm. and now we're at 500. We couldn't do it without, of course, the fans like Johnny and all of you guys listening to the Onside Kick. But thank you, Johnny, for joining us for this Onside Kick, and have a good one.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
All right, so next up on this Onside Kick, first ever call-in podcast, we have Trevor Kinney who's going to join us. Trevor, how's it going so far?
It's going pretty good, guys.
Awesome, awesome. We're glad to have you on, glad to have you calling in. So what did you want to talk about on the podcast, Trevor?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about we could talk about some young quarterbacks and pick which ones we might want on our team to, like, kind of for the foundation for the next 5 years or so.
Awesome, awesome. I know me, for sure, I do not want to have Teddy Bridgewater on my team. That guy's trash.
Would you count him as a young quarterback?
Yeah, what are we gonna count as young quarterbacks? Well, how many years in can they have?
Well, I kind of had a little bit of a list, and I mean, Andy Dalton was my oldest. Well, Cam Newton was, like, my oldest as in years in the league. Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton's my oldest as in actual years.
Okay.
I'm trying to think in my head. For this one, let's come up with some ground rules for this one, because you said Cam Newton was your oldest, Trevor?
Yeah.
Let's see. Unless you have...
We could just do, like, the last 2 or 3 years draft-wise.
Oh, wow. Cam Newton's only been the year... It seems like he's been longer.
No, it's been 4 years for Cam,
This is his fifth season. It's like, wow, I thought he's been in there longer. Let's do, just to make it interesting, unless you guys have something else that's different, let's go 3 years.
Okay.
So the only quarterbacks you can have is that's like your oldest is they've been in the league 3 years. And I mean, when you say young quarterbacks, I don't know why my first, maybe it's because they're the youngest, but my first mind goes to, do you take Marcus or Jameis? Because they're the youngest and you can have them for the more years than the older ones who are 3 years into the league. Do you go with them, or do you try to find someone who's okay? He's been in the league for 2 years already.
You know, I do want to say, too, that my first instinct was to go with Andrew Luck. And because this season has been so abysmal for him, I kind of forgot that he's been there for 4 years now. So, damn it. He's taken out. Because otherwise, I'm like, yeah, easy. Give me Andrew Luck. I don't know. Go ahead, Trevor.
Well, looking at the 3 years ago, there's pretty much shit quarterbacks.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
We got E.J. Manuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon, all those kind of guys.
Oh, man. Give me Mike Glennon to just lead me to the ship each and every year. Obviously, I'm joking. I don't want Mike Glennon anywhere near my team. But, like, I kind of feel like the thing is, I'm going to throw Marcus Mariota out there. Do you want him as the face of your franchise? Because do you think the season for Tennessee's been all on him? Or is it one of those things where it's like, hey, you know what? Maybe if he had a better offensive line, he would do a little bit better.
There's a lot of things wrong with that team.
Yeah, like, it's kind of weird, but one of the first things I think about when I'm thinking of how good a team is, how many people on their defense do I know by name? And for Tennessee, that's a big fat zero.
Well, the only one I know is McCourty. It's either Devin or Jason. I can't even remember which one. I think it's Jason is the one on the Titans. But I know that I'm just looking through NFL draft classes, and I know that, like, 2013, the big one was, like Trevor said, E.J. Manuel. 2014... Blake Bortles.
Yep.
You can take Blake Bortles as the TV franchise.
He was high on my list of guys to think about.
Do you put Johnny Football on that list? Does Johnny Football, do you give him the keys of the kingdom?
No.
Absolutely not.
You have Teddy Bridgewater, one that I know here in the MVP studio, Sean Anderson, who's off to the side, flashed his computer. Derek Carr?
Yeah.
Derek Carr, to me, he's an interesting one because, I mean, has he been the okay... He's the big name out of that draft? No, because you had obviously Blake Bortles. Teddy Bridgewater, I would say, has been more in the media than Derek Carr. But Derek Carr, for being on a Raiders team that now old podcasting friend Mike Slowinski, or Lions guy.
Yeah, the Lions
They're getting his parade.
They are going to
have
won
enough games. So, I mean... Does Derek Carr get into that discussion as well? Would either of you take Derek Carr?
I would.
Yeah, probably. I'd take him before Bridgewater.
Oh, for sure.
Bridgewater's just one where except for this past week, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this guy. Like, at the end of the Arizona game, I remember going, is he the guy?
I remember you asking me if he
was
the guy.
Is he the guy? And it's like, because part of me is like, yeah, he's the guy. And then there's another part that's like, is he the guy? Is Teddy Two Gloves the guy?
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, always remember, same thing I said about Brock Osweiler, playing against the Bears defense. So you gotta be a little aware of that. So that's not good. I think that Derek Carr is a good guy to go for. Blake Bortles, current Blake Bortles, is a pretty good guy to go for, too. I mean, you're going to have a better passer rating out of Derek Carr right now than you're going to get out of Blake Bortles, so that helps. With 93.5 for him in 2015, Blake's at 88.1, and then the career average is going to be better for Derek Carr. It's kind of interesting, too. I think you like a little bit more that Derek Carr has, if you go off the same draft area. Derek Carr has less pressure, you know, being a second-round pick as opposed to Blake Bortles, of course, going third overall to Jacksonville. That's some extra pressure, and you can tell he kind of felt some of that on the Jacksonville Jaguars when they were just a terrible team. I don't know, though. I mean, neither one of these guys, unfortunately, to me, seems like the guy who I feel is going to be Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, not in talent level, but in leadership level. I don't necessarily believe, when I think about any of these young guys, that any of them are going to be that guy that really leads my team. And that's the hardship. That's the trouble I have thinking about these young quarterbacks.
You know, it's an interesting one that I just looked in the second round of the 2014 draft.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
As some would call him. I mean, the thing, you talk about leadership. What was one of the things that I said and this was as we were actually moving over from the Onside Kick channel on YouTube to our MVP channel in the film breakdown I have for Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Talked about his leadership.
Yeah.
How he led that Eastern Illinois team and that Tony Romo has proven that, hey, I can come out of Eastern Illinois and play in this league. Now, does Jimmy Garoppolo kind of, I think we can start calling it a curse of, you sat behind Tom Brady, you're not going to be good. I mean, Brian Hoyer is probably the best one, but look at what happened to Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
After sitting behind Tom Brady, it seems like you sit behind Tom Brady and your career is ruined. It's not like Aaron Rodgers who sat behind Brett Favre and showed the old man up and forced him out of town. So, do you go with, and Matt Castle is another one, do you show and go with Garoppolo, even though he hasn't started yet in the NFL?
What do you think, Trevor?
I'm not sure. Someone I was actually thinking, this isn't entirely serious, but Bryce Petty for the Jets.
We haven't seen anything on him, that's the thing.
I know, that's the only thing. Like, it might have just been Baylor's offense because it's like, crazy good that made him look so good, but if you give him a couple years behind Ryan Fitzpatrick, he could end up doing something, but he's not going to be on the level of these guys.
See, I think Bryce Petty, though, could, like you said, like being in the spread, he could work in the right system.
Mm-hmm. However, especially if he's got Brandon Marshall to throw the ball to.
However, besides, like, I think the Patriots are the only team off the top of my head that run the spread offense in, like, the spread version of the offense in the NFL. Like, you bring up Bryce Petty, you look also in our three-year quarterback discussion, Geno's there.
No, he's not.
Geno's there.
He's not there.
He's technically there, but I would take, if I'm going Jet quarterbacks alone, I'd take Bryce over Geno.
For sure.
Geno probably can't even call out audibles with that jaw.
Oh, man, I mean, just as a side note, but could you imagine how screwed the Jets would be if, you know, Fitzpatrick wasn't good this year?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean,
well, I mean, he doesn't have to be that good. He's got Brandon Marshall.
But, I mean, he's
Brandon Marshall, Ricky.
And Eric Decker.
Eric Decker's there, too.
Don't forget about Eric Decker. But, I mean, man, that team would be in some deep water if they had to go back to Jimmy Graham. And, I mean, to me, I'm going to give, because we've kind of been dancing around the different quarterbacks that we would have. I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to be very bold. And I know there's one that I I haven't brought up Mark. If you want to, if you know who I'm talking about and can bring him up, I wasn't going to go with this guy anyways. However, the guy I'm going to go with is Derek Carr. To be, if I had to be totally serious and say, here's my franchise, here's my quarterback, it's Derek Carr, because he doesn't have the pressure being a number one pick. He's out of the quarterbacks in the 2014 draft class. He's done the best. I mean, Johnny Manziel, nothing. Almost out of the league.
Pretty much.
Teddy Bridgewater, we've had questions about him. Blake Bortles, before this past few weeks, ever since, Mark, you said that, oh, Blake Bortles is nothing. Mm-hmm. That's when he finally said, oh, wait, Mark.
He's a long-time listener of the podcast.
The Mark Weber thinks I'm nothing. I got to turn it on. I got to prove him wrong. I got to go with Derek Carr because he's the guy I can work with the most and say, okay, that's my quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor, if you had to give, like I said, we danced around, who's your for sure, that's the guy?
It's hard to say. It's probably a toss-up between Carr and then Bortles for me, but I'm probably going to have to go with Bortles. Just looking at what he's made with that garbage team in Jacksonville.
He's got two good wide receivers, though, and a good tight end.
Yeah, well he doesn't – T.J. Yeldon, young, could end up doing something, but he really hasn't taken off too much pressure, and neither has that defense.
And, I mean, the thing with Bortles to Carr is Carr doesn't have that good of a run. I would say Latavius Murray hasn't taken much pressure off of Derek Carr either. But, I mean, see, the thing with Bortles is he's got the arm. And, I mean, he can get it to those receivers streaking down like Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, the two Allens, Julius Thomas. Mark, how about you? Who are you going with?
Well, a guy I think, I'm pretty sure you were referencing, Ricky, I'm pretty sure you were referencing A.J. McCarron.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
A.J. to A.J. all day.
A guy who's going to show up and do wonderful things, going to replace the scrub that is Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket. That guy can't win no playoff games. But, no, I definitely think Derek Carr or Blake Bortles is the real conversation that you're having with these guys, unless you really do want to be bold and you really think that one of these guys who hasn't done something, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo or A.J. McCarron or Bryce Petty, if you really think one of those guys, no, he's going to be the real deal, I think those are the guys you want to go for. Jameis Winston and Mariota, I think, are guys who – they're too young to where you don't know.
We haven't seen enough yet.
Yeah, you don't know yet. So that's why I would have to agree with Ricky on that one and go with Derek Carr. He's just been a good bet. He's been a guy who does well. I don't think there's too much of a difference. I don't think you really lose right now whether you go with Blake Bortles or Derek Carr. I think either one are safe. Neither one are probably going to blow anybody away. We don't have the next great, pick your Chicago Bears quarterback out here, the next great guy, obviously. But they're both going to win you games. They both are going to be enough for now.
Yeah.
So with that being said, of course, we definitely want to thank you, Trevor, for coming on the podcast, talking with us, talking some young quarterbacks. Let us know down in the comment section, as always. But yeah, thank you so much for being a big part of MVP and the MVP army and helping us reach 500. That's what, well, I don't remember what goal this one was, but it was part of what made this call-in show possible. So thank you so, so very much, Trevor.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Onside Kick. Ricky Widmer here along with the Mark Weber, and we have a special guest in this one. Mark, you want to dub them E's?
I wanted to dub them E's, but you wouldn't let me dub them E's.
Here, we're rewinding. And Mark Weber.
Dub them E's.
And we have a special guest here from the Fast Break podcast here on Most Valuable Podcast. Sean Anderson, how's it going?
This is weird being on the other side of the board. Usually I'm on Ricky's side.
I know.
So it's very weird being like the sidekick, I guess.
The sidekick, because when I was on the Fast Break, I still let you run the board.
Exactly. It's just really weird not being like holding anything or pushing anything up and down.
Well, your job is now easy on this one. And guys, we had two great call-ins to start this podcast. We want to give special thanks again to Trevor and Johnny for being a part of our first ever call-in podcast. But we wanted to finish the podcast off with what you guys all came for. This is what the podcast was named. This is what it's about. It's mock draft time. It is finally mock draft time as Todd McShay came out with his first mock draft that forced me to come out with my first mock draft. And this was the thing I think we've got to remember with this one is this is just the first one. Don't get mad if you're like, whoa, what's my team doing drafting this? Because we got like five more to go until we get all the way to the draft. But I want to pose a question to whoever wants to take it. Cleveland Browns at number two. Are they really going to go quarterback? Because Todd McShay has them going Paxton Lynch. I'm saying no. Browns learn from their mistakes. Don't go quarterback.
When have the Cleveland Browns ever learned from a mistake that they've made?
I can be hopeful, right?
No, you cannot.
A team
not
can learn from
Cleveland.
Their mistakes.
There's no hope in Cleveland, even though the uniforms are just a little bit brighter. They got to go quarterback. It's not Johnny Football. It's not going to be Brandon Williams gone. It's not going to be McCown sitting there.
What about Austin Davis?
They got nothing. Austin Davis, he got his time. His time was taken away. They need to start fresh, grab a new quarterback, let him do his thing, let him be a typical Cleveland quarterback. Everybody gets fired, he gets replaced, et cetera, et cetera.
What about this? And this is a little bit different than, because if the Titans go Joey Bosa in defensive end, then, okay, Cleveland, you're probably going to go quarterback. But if the Titans go a guy like Laramie Tunsil and goes, okay, we got to protect Marcus Mariota, to me, that's an interesting decision because then the Browns can say, okay, let's go Joey Bosa, beef up that defensive line, and then in the second round, like, Sean, let's get your in here. Then they can go, okay, Bosa here. Let's go Connor Cook with the second overall pick in the second round.
Well, you could also, I mean, it's mock draft, so you really can never predict trades, but then you could also say, like, you know, Cleveland takes Bosa at two, and then they trade back into the first round and take, you know, Paxton Lynch. I do like the Connor Cook idea because he seems the most mentally ready to take over in the NFL, but it's just I don't know if the Cleveland Browns will learn from their mistakes, and maybe this won't be a mistake and Paxton Lynch will be the next great quarterback.
Does Cleveland not learn from a mistake that they did? I want to say it was, oh, crap. Was that 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, they've been drafting quarterbacks in the first round since 1999.
This was the draft that they drafted Trent Richardson. Because
2012. It was
2012 then, where they were right behind my Vikings, and they traded with us just to move up one slot when they knew we were going Khalil. They knew we were going offensive line with Khalil, but still traded with us to make sure they can get Trent Richardson. Do we see something on draft day where the Titans kind of hold that first pick ransom for, okay, or who wants a quarterback, or who wants Joey Bosa, because we can trade it?
I think when it comes to quarterbacks, I'm pretty sure the league consensus is that there isn't that many amazing gotta-have guys, so I wouldn't be scared of that. When it comes to other players, there's definitely some good other players out there. I don't know. It's really hard to trade first, second, third overall picks, though. That's really hard to do. I wouldn't expect to see anything.
I mean, what was the first, the last like top pick to be traded?
Wasn't it the
RG3,
okay. Andrew Luck, and before
well, I'm
that
saying
it was,
like number one overall because RG3 was two.
Well, RG3, the Rams traded that pick away. It was number two.
Yeah, it was number two
because Andrew Luck. Was it Eli Rivers? But that was after they were drafted.
But it was look at everything that was needed to trade for number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we possibly going to trade for number one to get Joey Bosa? Not going to happen.
Well, it also, like, if you're looking at Cleveland, like, Cleveland, if they want to move up to one, like, maybe they just trade the two and then, like, you know, a fourth and a fifth, and then Tennessee probably sees that as fit. But because maybe other teams will be fighting for the number one pick with Tennessee, so maybe that's a possibility where they're not giving up the whole farm like a Ditka Ricky Williams trade.
Because I know I bring that trade up because I think we had someone on the mock draft video commented, like, oh, well, the Titans could trade their pick. Also, if you want to check out my mock draft, link down below. Also, if you are an NFL guy and you're like, Ricky, it's not like we're just getting to the mock draft season. How do I learn more about these guys? Check out the Primetime Podcast. Me and Brandon are going to be talking about these guys in the future. But another one that we got to get to, Robert Kamdichie suspended from the Sugar Bowl after his incident where he fell out of a hotel window. They found marijuana in his possession in his hotel room. Right now, Todd McShay has him at number three. I had him falling because of the incident to six overall. However, there's a part of me, guys, that says, look at Shane Ray. Look at Randy Gregory. This guy, is there a chance he doesn't get drafted in the first round come draft day?
I think it's possible. I mean, look at Randy Gregory. You know, it's definitely possible that could happen. Now, this is fairly early when it comes to drafts, and this could potentially be forgotten about or overlooked. Mm-hmm. Where they have the, you know, personal interviews and things like that where he can kind of explain things. He can show personal growth, you know, all that good stuff. So there's definitely time for him to be good. As long as he stays out of trouble in the offseason, I don't expect that he'll be dropping too far.
That was one thing also with Gregory and Ray, that they both failed drug tests. And to my knowledge, I don't think Kim DJ actually failed the drug test yet.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, though, it's more of, and I'm not, in my mock draft, I didn't just kind of put Kim DJ on blast. To me, I just point out that once you enter the draft process, you put a microscope over your life. Not your football life, but your personal life. What you're doing, what your mom's doing, what your dad's doing, what your second cousin first removed is doing. They look at everything because these NFL scouts, these NFL teams, they're investing in you, especially if you're a top 10 pick. Right now, like I said, I only had him moving back three spots. Todd McShay didn't have him moving back at all. However, like Mark said, you kind of got to look at it a little closely. But before we get into our favorite teams, there's two picks that I know, Sean, before we hit the record button, you actually mentioned on Todd McShay's draft. You're like, man, I like this one. Will Fuller, he said kind of a reach, number 29th overall, to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, I just like the idea that he's going to go to Cincinnati at 29.
And you're an ND fanboy.
I'm an ND fanboy, yeah. But it's also, you know, I've seen, like, if I've seen a team, you know, extensively, it's Notre Dame, so I know what Fuller could bring.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the physicality of A.J. Green on one side, and then you have Fuller on the outside.
Just
the other.
Raw vertical speed,
exactly.
On the other.
And he could just burn by people. And I feel like that could also add just a complete depth to this Bengals offense with, you know, Andy Dalton coming back possibly, or A.J. McCarron. We don't know, but I mean, it looks like it's going to be Andy Dalton. It's just, I feel Fuller's speed compared with, you know, A.J. Green's physicality and just his size would just be an absolute force for the, in like the AFC, you know, it would kind of be like a Martavius Bryant,
yeah.
Antonio Brown set to match up against Pittsburgh.
Or kind of like an Eric Decker, Brandon Marshall situation that the Jets have going on.
Exactly.
Because Eric Decker's not the physical one. B. Marshall's the physical one. The other one is right after them, number 30th. He's got a quarterback, the third quarterback of his first round, Carson Wentz, who's an FCS product. However, McShay's saying that he'd be the, quote, ideal quarterback for Bruce Arians. I know they have Carson Palmer. I know Carson Palmer's not going anywhere. This has actually been the first season we've actually seen a full season. Hopefully, I'm
surprisingly
not,
enough.
Hope I didn't just kiss of death Carson Palmer. If I did, I'm sorry. But do you put any stock into this?
Well, I mean, I think it's something that's worthwhile to think about because Arizona does need to think about quarterbacks, and they do need to think about the future.
Especially if they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's true because if they were to win the Super Bowl, maybe Carson Palmer, 36 years old, says, all right, it's been fun. Bye. And then what do you got? You know, you're kind of
if they win and he doesn't leave, maybe they're starting to think like, okay, well, let's do what Green Bay did. Draft the future and let him sit behind
sure.
the old guy.
But Carson Palmer is 36.
True.
He's old.
Is he going to Brett Favre? Is he going to play to 40?
I wouldn't expect it. I mean, he's pretty fragile as is. I mean, even this, you know, this year where he's playing all the time, he's still pretty banged up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's a guy who gets hurt. He gets hit a lot. Arizona, they definitely need to think about the future because everything else on the team is pretty good. They're pretty solid everywhere else. Just get that quarterback.
And with Carson Wentz, I mean, North Dakota State, where he's from, they've won four straight national titles in the FCS. So, I mean, he's coming from a winning program. And if, you know, Palmer stays healthy, then this might be the perfect, you know, scenario.
Kind of the perfect storm.
But like you said, if Palmer gets hurt, then they're fucked.
You're thinking because you want to say Palmer, but both of them are Carson. Carson yeah, Wentz was, yeah, and Carson I was Palmer.
Say Carson, yeah.
But I mean, the thing I think about is, let's say, because you don't think about that, what if Palmer leaves? Does that put more of a stress on the Cardinals, like Mark, you said, to draft a quarterback in the first round? Or does that make them say, okay, wait a second, Wentz, if Palmer's still here, we could take him here as kind of a steal for a few years, but we need a guy who's NFL ready. Wentz is not going to be NFL ready day one. So if Palmer leaves, I don't think they take Wentz at all. They sit there and go, okay, when can we take Connor Cook? Because they don't want to take him in the first round.
Yeah, if they like Connor Cook, for sure. You know, there's also going to be some free agent quarterbacks. Maybe they like some of those. They got a lot to think about.
I mean, Sam Bradford could be hitting the free agency.
He probably will, because who really wants him to stay in Philadelphia? But yeah, I just don't think it's a pressing need for Arizona, but it's definitely something they're thinking about. And Arizona doesn't have that many needs. You know, they're a pretty well-built team.
They're pretty stacked.
And they have
team.
Been for a little while now. So I don't think it's too big of an issue for them.
Plus, I don't know how Carson would leave. Palmer would leave 2018. That's when his contract is ended up. So, I mean, if he's thinking, you know, Palmer stays healthy and Wentz just can step in once Palmer leaves or retires, then, I mean, that's when, I mean, 3 years is, I think, is enough time to know if a quarterback's ready for the NFL or not.
And I'm going to fact check you. I'm going to Tony Reale you, Sean. The Bison of North Dakota State, four-time back-to-back-to-back-to-back champions of the FCS. They're going for their fifth straight on January 9th against Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, that team that almost beat the Auburn Tigers earlier in the year. But we will end our McShay discussion on two things. We got to talk about our favorite teams. And both of you are Bear fans. I'm the Viking fan. I'm sorry, Sean. Your second team, or 1B team, does not get a selection in this draft, the New England Deflatriots.
Straight up bullshit.
But we got to talk Bears and Vikings then. The Bears going in Todd McShay's draft, and I got him going with the same one, DeForest Buckner, defensive end, Oregon State. The reason why I got him going, this guys, is he's a pass rusher that you guys need. He fits the 3-4. How can you guys not like that?
It's nice. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing the Bears need. Unfortunately, the Bears need a lot of things on defense. So the hardest thing for the Bears really has been teams are just lighting them up in the passing game. So, hey, if you're not going to do it by getting corners or safeties, nothing wrong with a pass rusher. This guy is huge. And the one thing I will say about that does scare me a little bit of just how huge he really is.
You don't want a big guy?
Not that I don't want a big guy, just he's abnormally huge to where, you know, I like guys who are big. Like, give me a guy who weighs about 320 and I'm pretty happy.
Well, that's why you wanted, you liked Eddie Goldman.
I loved Eddie Goldman. Now, 6'7", yeah, he can reach up and he can block whatever is there if he can't get to the quarterback. But it's just, when you have an abnormality, it either works really well for you or it's not going to work at all for you. And it just makes me a little cautious. However, this guy is a freak athlete. So you're feeling pretty good about that.
What do you think, Sean?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you bring up defense, I mean, the idea of a 6'7", 300-pound guy is just, it lights my face up. Like, that sounds like a complete stud, but it's really if his game could transfer and if he could stay healthy. But then you talk about the defensive side. There's also Kendall Fuller, the cornerback out of Virginia Tech, related to Kyle Fuller, who we drafted in the first round 2 years ago, I believe. He tore his ACL in week 3, but he did declare for the draft. And if he's if he's cleared medically, then Todd McShay says he's going to be a first rounder. That might be interesting, bringing in another corner and bringing in the guy from the same, you know, background, even same family. But also a dream scenario, and again, I'm going back to my ND roots, is if Jalen Smith, the outside linebacker, falls from where McShay has him right here at 6 going to Dallas Cowboys. I feel like Jalen Smith would just be an absolute freak in the 3-4 system for the Bears.
Well, you want a gift? And I'll tell you this, if you look at mine, I got Jalen Smith going 12th, so that means the Bears could pick him up at 10 if they wanted
and
to.
Plus, I mean, what if the Bears just lose 2 games and they could even drop there? So, I mean, even with draft order not being set, I feel like Jalen Smith will still need to fall a little bit for the Bears to. He might have to have a bad bowl game or bad, you know, combine.
Now, see, I'm gonna end this podcast off on a little bit of a rant, and I know what I said earlier may contradict this because I said, you know what, this is the first mock draft you get, things are gonna change. But at this point in time, looking at Todd McShay's mock draft, I look at the Vikings at 23, and I see Darren Lee, outside linebacker for Ohio State. And the first thing I think of is, really? You're saying we need an outside linebacker? 2015, we draft linebacker and Eric Kendricks and Trey Waynes. Those are our first two picks. The year before, our first pick before Teddy Bridgewater was Anthony Barr, an outside linebacker. To me, this is the time where the Vikings, we need a wide receiver. We need someone to go out there and say, hey, you know what? We've got Stephon Diggs on one side who's got that kind of, I would, like Sean, you were saying with Will Fuller.
Yeah, he's got
kind of the same thing, that
vertical
explosive speed,
yeah. speed.
That's why I put an Ohio State guy, but a wide receiver, Michael Thomas, because he's more athletic. He'll cut over the middle. Because to me, it was kind of, who do I go with? Do I go with Corey Coleman, the big speedster vertical threat out of Baylor, who spread offense, like we talked earlier with Trevor in our quarterback discussion, or do I go Michael Thomas, who's the bigger receiver, can go over the middle as well? I just saw this and went, what the hell, Todd? Really, an outside linebacker? I know Zimmer's a defensive guy, but really, outside linebacker? Really?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think you have to think about the Vikings as a team. You have Adrian Peterson still. But you saw something nice with the Bears. Yeah, you're against the Bears, and they can't defend against, you know, small crossing
routes.
But
the potential's there.
But the potential was when Adrian Peterson wasn't there, Teddy Bridgewater suddenly stepped up. And he suddenly, yeah, the offense isn't that complicated. It's pretty basic.
Well, it's a North Turner offense.
Yeah, exactly. But he stepped up and did what he had to do, and it worked really well. Do you want to go further down that path? Take a little bit off of Adrian Peterson. Don't burn him so quickly. Mm-hmm. Let Teddy Bridgewater step up and make those kind of throws. Let him be the quarterback that he maybe can be. Jury's still out, but he hasn't proved that he can't be it. So do you want to do that? Do you want to give him a weapon? And in that case, you would love to have a guy who goes, in my mind, the vertical threat would be nice, but a guy who's going over the middle, that's what Norv Turner does.
Yeah.
So that just makes perfect sense to me.
Well, this is going to do it for the Onside Kick this week. If you want, you can be like, hey, Ricky, you mentioned your mock draft. Where can I find it? The link is down below in the description. I want to thank you guys for checking out this podcast. I want to thank, again, Sean for being a guest host on this one.
Thanks for having me on.
Then we also got to thank Johnny and Trevor for calling in the first ever call-in podcast for the Onside Kick. Make sure to check out the video if you're a college guy. Want to be on the Primetime Podcast, we're going to do the same thing. I want to thank everyone for checking this out. Hit that like and repost button on SoundCloud. Like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go ahead and follow us on Twitter. Mark is at TheMarkWeber. Sean's at Schwarbo.
Yeah, at Schwarbo.
At Schwarbo. I'm at Ricky Widmer. I'm not used to saying that one. Thank you guys for checking this out. But as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.